Please turn again to that portion of scripture that we read, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And for a few moments today, I want to draw your attention to the subject, guarding our thoughts. Guarding our thoughts. And I want to base my remarks on verse 8 of this portion of scripture. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider this text and to consider this subject. Father in heaven, we thank thee and praise thee today for thy precious word. And we pray, Lord, that as we come to consider thy truth today, that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. We do pray, Lord, that your word would find a resting place in our hearts and in our minds. Oh God, we pray that you'll shut out the world and defeat the devil. We pray, oh God, that you would close us in with yourself. We pray, Lord, that there might be a word in season for each and every one of us, both saint and sinner alike. Oh God, we pray for those that are not saved, that you would reveal unto them their great need of God's salvation. We pray, Lord, that they might see themselves as God sees them, as sinners needing a Savior. And that they might recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ alone is that Savior. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And oh God, that you might have a word for the saints of God today. Oh Lord, we pray that you would come and work in all of our hearts. Oh God, to this end I pray that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. There's a great battle going on today. It is a battle for the hearts and minds of men. A battle between truth and evil. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, we read, "The god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them." The devil is doing everything within his power to blind the minds of men to the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sinner, up until this moment in your life, Satan has done a very good job, because your mind is still blinded to the truth. You still are refusing to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But child of God, you and I need to be very careful that our minds are not affected by the corruption of this world. The devil not only wants to blind the minds of the ungodly, but he also wants to corrupt the truth of God in our minds. And we must never forget that. Is that not what the devil did to our first parents in the Garden of Eden when he deceived them by questioning God's word? Genesis chapter 3. Take the time to read it when you go home and you will find that to be the case. Dear child of God, the truth is the devil is still seeking to fill our minds with evil and corrupt thoughts, and he is doing everything within his power to accomplish this. It is the devil's aim to draw the hearts and minds of men away from following the Lord. That can mean bringing us into sin. It can mean seeking to cause us to doubt and question the word of God. It can mean stopping the unsaved from seeing the truth of the gospel message. Therefore, child of God, we need to guard our thoughts and we need to guard our minds against the attack of the evil one. But how can this be done? How can we as God's people guard the thoughts of our minds? Well, we have the answer here in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, look at it again. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Here we have the exhortation from God's word today. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he writes to the saints at Philippi, after he gives this list, he says, think on these things. Before we consider the text itself, I want you to notice very simply a number of things about the thoughts of the mind. First of all, God knows our thoughts. The God of heaven, who is omniscient, knows and sees the thoughts of all men. Psalm 94 verse 11 says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man." Isaiah 66 verse 18, we read, "For I know their works and their thoughts." The Lord knows the thoughts of the righteous. Psalm 139 verses 1 and 2, the psalmist said, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." But the Lord not only knows the thoughts of the righteous, he also knows the thoughts of the wicked. Proverbs 15 verse 26, it says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord." And of course, we're all familiar with Genesis 6 and verse 5. We read these words, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And of course, after that, you know that God destroyed the world by a flood, and he saved Noah and his family. But the point is this, not only does God see our actions, but he knows the thoughts of our minds. We cannot hide our thoughts from God, whether we're saved or unsaved, whether we're righteous or wicked. It makes no difference who we are. The Lord, the God of heaven, he knows the thoughts of us all. When the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the second person in the Holy Trinity, walked upon this earth, the Bible tells us that he knew the very thoughts of men. Matthew chapter 9, verses 3 and 4, we read these words, "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth," speaking of Christ. And then in verse 4 it says this, "And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" These unconverted scribes, they didn't speak the words of blasphemy. They just thought blasphemy in their minds. And the Bible tells us here that the Lord Jesus, he knew their thoughts. In Luke 11, this truth is brought out again. Verses 16 and 17, we read, "And others tempting him," that is tempting Christ, "sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them," he knowing their thoughts. Therefore, God knows every thought that we think, whether it be good or bad, whether it be pure or sinful, whether it be righteous or wicked. What kind of a God would God be if he did not know all about us, even the very thoughts of our minds and the thoughts of our hearts. God's word clearly teaches us today, and God wants us to know that he knows our thoughts. There's something else I want you to notice here. Not only does God know our thoughts, but God judges our thoughts. God will not only judge our sinful actions, but he will judge the sinful thoughts of our hearts and our minds. Now, I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 2 for a moment. I've been quoting quite a number of scriptures there, but this time I'm going to quote it, but I want you to turn to the place, because it's very important that you see this. God not only judges the sinful actions of men, but he also judges the sinful thoughts of men. Look what it says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, underline it, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, or the thoughts of men, by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Sin begins in the mind with our thoughts. Sinful thoughts are the source of man's sinful actions. Every sinful act is preceded by certain steps. Thoughts, imagination, belief that we can do it, and then the action. The truth is, before man commits a sinful action, he thinks about it. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Sin begins in the heart with the thoughts of our minds before the act is ever committed. And that's what the Bible teaches. When King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, his sin began in the thoughts of his mind, when he looked upon Bathsheba and lusted after her. Indeed, long before David committed the act of adultery, he had already sinned by the thoughts of his mind. And we all know that God judged David's sin. He judged his thoughts. He judged his words. And he judged his deeds. Keep your hand in Philippians and turn over again to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm of David. It's a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba and after he had committed his sin of adultery. Therefore, this psalm is David's confession before God because of his sin with Bathsheba. Now, we all know that after Nathan went and said to David, Thou art the man, and revealed David's sin to him, that David repented of his sin. Of that there is no doubt. And thank God today, God is a merciful God, and he will forgive sin, even the sins of the thoughts, even the sins of our words, even the sins of our actions. God will forgive our sin when we confess our sin to him, when we repent of our sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and even the sins of
of our hearts, even the sins of our thoughts, the Lord will forgive. And that's what happened to David. He repented of his sin. And that's what Psalm 51 is all about, is David's repentance. It is David's confession of his sins. Not only of the sins of his actions, not only of the sins of his words, but the sins of his thoughts. Look what it says in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Now, he's confessing his sin of adultery here. I want you to underline that. I want you to keep that thought in your mind as you read down the psalm. He's thinking about his sin with Bathsheba here. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Underline those words. Verse 10 again. Look at it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David here is acknowledging that his sin began within his heart, in the thoughts of his mind. That is why he prayed in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David knew that if his thoughts were pure, then his actions would be pure. Men and women, God will judge the very thoughts of men, because man sins against God in the thoughts of his mind. We must never forget that. When we come to confess our sin, we must not only confess our actions, and we must not only confess our words, but we must confess the very thoughts of our minds. Look at Mark chapter 12 and verse 29 and 30. Underline these words in your Bible. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now look at Mark 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Underline it. With all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. If God desires that we love him with all our minds, with all our thoughts, in other words, then our minds and our thoughts can sin against him. And if our minds and our thoughts can sin against God, then God will bring our thoughts into judgment. That's what the Bible is teaching here. God not only knows our thoughts, he not only sees our thoughts, but he judges our thoughts. And if you, my friend, die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you die without having your sins forgiven, on the day of judgment, you will stand before him, whether you believe that or not, because the Bible says that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. And when you stand before him on that day, not only will you be judged for your actions, not only will you be judged for your words, but you will be judged for your thoughts. For your thoughts. But there's something else I want you to notice, and we must get to the text because time's going on. Not only do I want you to notice that God knows our thoughts and God judges our thoughts, but thirdly, God wants us to control our thoughts. God wants us to control our thoughts. The reason why King David sinned against God was because he failed
to control his thoughts. And it led David into sin. If David had have controlled his thoughts, he would not have committed adultery with Bathsheba. My friend, the truth is this. Before we commit the act of sin, we think about it in our minds. And that's the time we need to deal with it. That's the time when it needs to be sorted out. Some people say, well, I couldn't help what I did. That's a nonsense. That's a nonsense. Some people say, I couldn't control what I did. That's a nonsense. Because once the thought comes into our minds, before we commit the act of whatever, that's when we need to deal with it. How do we control our thoughts? Well, Philippians 4 verse 8, I believe, has the answer. Here God gives us direction to how we can control the thoughts of our minds. Look at the verse again. Underline the verse. What a tremendous verse it is. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Child of God, you and I have a decision to make every day we live. We can decide either to fill our minds with thoughts of sin and filth and ungodliness, or we can decide to fill our minds with godly thoughts. Proverbs 23 verse 7 we read, let me read it again, I've read it before, but let me read it again. For as man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Child of God, if you want pure thoughts, think about pure things. That's what the text of Scripture is emphasizing to us. If you want holy thoughts, think about holy things. If you want righteous thoughts, think about righteous things. What you and I put into our minds each day, that is what we will think about. Therefore, Paul here exhorts the people of God by saying to them, whatsoever things are true, and honest, and just, and pure, and lovely, and of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, then we have got to think on these things. Now, this does not mean that the child of God will never have an impure thought. But what the saint of God must do the moment we have that impure thought is to turn our minds immediately to holy things, to the things of God, to the Word of God, to the Scriptures of truth. Take a look at Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. Look at verses 1 and 2. Here Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he comes to write to these saints, and here's what he says to them in Colossians 3 verse 1 and 2. And again, it's a text of Scripture that you should, child of God, underline in your Bible. If ye then be risen with Christ. In other words, if you're saved, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, if you love the Lord, if you've been risen in Christ. In other words, you have been set free from the chains of sin and the chains of the devil, and the Lord has redeemed you for time and for eternity. If you're a saint of God, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now underline this verse. Set your affection. In other words, set your mind. In other words, set your thoughts on things above, not on things on this earth. Do we do that day by day? Child of God, I said at the very beginning of this message that there's a battle going on for our minds. And the devil is seeking to corrupt our minds. And of course, there are many ways in this 21st century which he seeks to do that. Oh, it is up to you and I. Each day we live, each moment we live, day by day, to set our affections, to set our minds, to set our thoughts on things above. Those things that are pure, those things that are holy, those things that are honest, those things are of a good report. Look at the verse again. Study it yourself. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 46, just turn over to it, because this has been the exhortation to God, to his people in all generations. It's not only for the New it was not only for the New Testament saint. It is not only for us today, but it was also for the Old Testament saint as well. Look what the instruction here is to God's people. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46. And he said unto them, set your hearts, or set your minds, or set your thoughts upon all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. O child of God, we have the Bible. We have the Word of God. And the Lord here is instructing us. If we want to have pure thoughts and holy thoughts, then we must get into this book. We must read this book. Indeed, we must meditate upon this book. That's what is said here in Deuteronomy. Set your hearts upon all the words. And all the words there are speaking about all the words of God. The words that he has given to us. Indeed, turn over to Joshua chapter 1. And take a look with me at verse 8 there. This same thought is brought out here in the days of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Here's the word of the Lord to Joshua. And he says this. This book of the law, speaking about the word of God, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now underline these words. But thou shalt meditate. My friend, you meditate with your mind. You meditate with the thoughts of your head. Many of God's people today, they haven't got time to meditate because they never take the time to meditate. They're running about doing everything. They have no time to meditate upon God's word. And then they wonder why they sin, and they wonder why they fail, and they wonder why they're dragged into bypath meadows, and they wonder why they have so many problems in their personal life, and why they have no victory in their Christian life. Have you victory in your Christian life today? But thou shalt meditate. Look what it says. Therein day and night, day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We are to think about the great truths of the Bible. We are to meditate upon the great truths of the Bible. Meditate upon the God of the Bible. Meditate upon the Christ of the Bible. Meditate upon the promises of the Bible. We are to think upon these things. We are to think upon these things. These are the things that are true. These are the things that are honest. These are the things that are just. These are the things that are pure. These are the things that are lovely. These are the things that are of good report. These are the things that are virtuous. These are the things, child of God, that you and I have to meditate upon and to think upon. Controlling our thoughts. Controlling our thoughts. In Romans 8 verse 6 it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, child of God, I pray day by day in our Christian lives when the attack of the devil comes, and the attack of the devil will come. There is no doubt that the devil will attack our minds. And as long as we are in the flesh, and as long as we are in this imperfect body, this corrupt body, there will be a battle that we will have to face day by day and week by week and year by year until we get home to heaven. Of that there is no doubt. But here, the Apostle Paul, he gives us the key. He reveals unto us, if you like, the secret. How you and I, child of God, can control our thoughts. It's by thinking and meditating upon the Word of God and upon the Scriptures of truth and what the Scriptures of truth teach us about the righteousness and purity of God and the righteousness and purity of Christ and the righteousness and purity of the Holy Spirit. And thank God the Holy Spirit is within us, because once we were saved, we were born from above and God's Holy Spirit entered into us, and the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us, the Bible says, into all truth. Into all truth. You see, friend, that's what repentance is. You know what repentance is? Repentance is a change of mind. Now, it's also a change of direction. The word repentance means a turning around. And when the sinner comes to Christ and is saved, there's a turning around. If there's true repentance in the heart, there's a turning around and we go in a different direction. But friend, before our direction changes, our mind has to change. There has to be a change of mind. Before I can take one step, my mind has to tell my foot to take that step. In other words, when a sinner is saved, the thoughts of the sinner's mind is changed. Changed from wanting evil to wanting righteousness. Changed from wanting sin to wanting purity. Changed from running after ungodliness to running after holiness. You see, before our actions can be changed, the thoughts of our minds must be changed, as I have said. Repentance begins in the heart and in the mind and in the thought of the sinner. Then the action changes. Then comes the action. Oh, I wonder, my friend, as you're gathered here today, have you ever known the gift of repentance in your heart and in your life? Have you truly repented? Do you know what it is to turn away from sin? Do you know what it is to pray and ask the Lord to give you victory over sin? Or when the sin comes, you just run headlong into it. You just run headlong into it. Friend, do you know why you run headlong into it? Because there's no repentance. There's no repentance. Guarding our thoughts. God knows our thoughts. God judges the thoughts of men. God wants us to control our thoughts. And praise God, He will give us the strength and the help to do so. My friend, if you're in this meeting today and you're not a Christian and you're not saved, you've never repented of your sin, then come by faith to Christ today and trust Him and turn from your sin. And praise God, the Lord Jesus will save you. He will save you from your sins. And He will cover your sins in His precious blood. That's why He died and shed His precious blood upon the cross. Jesus died upon the cross and He rose again in order to forgive us for our sins. To forgive us for our sins that we think. To forgive us for our sins that we speak. To forgive us for our sins that we do. Thought, word, and deed. And that's what the Lord Jesus can do for you today. He can cleanse you from all your sin. Praise God, there is forgiveness and mercy with the Lord. Turn to Jeremiah 29. This is the last verse. I dealt with this text of Scripture a few weeks ago in the prayer meeting. I'm not going to preach the sermon again, but I want to finish by just drawing your attention to God's thoughts towards His people. We're thinking about our thoughts in this message today. What about God's thoughts towards His people? Now, when I speak about God's people, I'm speaking about those who are saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Look what it says in verse 11, Jeremiah 29. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." God has thoughts towards his people, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Is not an encouraging text of Scripture, child of God, to leave God's house today with? As God thinks upon us, his thoughts toward us are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of peace, it says, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Praise God, the end of the child of God is a good end, because we're going home to heaven, going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. What a day that's going to be when we leave this old scene of time behind us, and when we get home to glory and we hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Oh, child of God, let us praise the Lord today. But let us honor the Lord as we seek to live for the Lord. Let us serve him with all our hearts, souls, and minds. Let us honor him with our minds. And let us think upon those things that are pure and those things that are holy. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, then think. Let your mind be controlled by these things and not by the sin and the wickedness and the ungodliness of this world. Let us set our affections, set our minds on things above.